everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, December 4th, 2009. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. You can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. How's everybody doing today? Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. I also hope the weekend in general was a good one. I had a wonderful time last week. We had lots of good friends over, and it just was a real, just wonderful time spent with people that are close to us. Also, I was very happy that I was able to get in a day of research. I have been doing something for the last 10 or 12 years where I make the weekend after Thanksgiving a research weekend. Well, I used to when I had a little bit more energy, I guess. I used to make it a two-day event where a jaunt where I would go and sort of camp in at the National Archives for 2 days. I have cut it back to 1 day, but I did have a fellow researcher join me, and we went and opened up the National Archives and spent the day there doing some research, and I was glad to be able to do that and get that in. I did not go back on Saturday, though, so it was just Friday. I know a lot of people are usually shopping on that day, but for me, it's a research day. It has been for some time, so I was glad to get that in. Anyway, I hope that you're all getting ready now. Of course, the year is winding down quickly. Can you believe that in less than a month, a new year will be here? It's really amazing how quickly the time has gone by. Anyway, one of the things that I like to do, of course, in December, there are not a lot of events that are coming up, but just also just sort of take a look and see what is coming up and look towards the next year and just start to plan and see what I might be able to put on my calendar, what I might not be able to. But it's good to have an overview of what's going on. And I know events come up all the time. There are going to be events held in the local communities, different state conferences, local events, and as those get publicized, I'll be sharing some of those with you as well. There are two events coming up in December that I will mention. One is a deadline. As you've heard me mention before, the Chicago African American Genealogical Society is working on a heritage book. And this actually, I think it's important to give some thought to this. This is one of the first times, if at all, ever, has there been an African American heritage book. And I think that this is kind of different. I'm mentioning it because the deadline has been extended. It was earlier in November, and they decided to extend it to December 15th. So there's an opportunity for you to submit a 500-word article plus a black and white photograph of your ancestors if you have one, or your ancestor if you're writing about one person, and to really consider being a part of this project. I'm going to put the link for you there on the website, and you can go to, well, learn more about the organization, because I'm always impressed with the things that they do. But also about the heritage book. Think about it. Many of you have been doing research for years, and hopefully if you've been doing things the right way, you've been writing a chronology on the lives of your ancestors, that you can certainly put together 500 words and contribute to this project. Certainly it does seem worthwhile. Coming up also in December, on the 16th of December, I've mentioned this before, Annette Gordon Reed. It's an opportunity to meet this wonderful author who wrote the award-winning book, The Hemingses of Monticello. And this is at the National Archives in Washington. That's on 7th and Pennsylvania. The presentation is at 7 p.m. You can order the book in advance, and there will be a discount if you're planning to attend the book signing as well. And if you call the National Archives and reserve the book, you'll get it at a discount. So that's something to look at. But of course, this being December, there are not lots and lots of events, genealogy events, that remain for the year. So this is a good time to sort of look towards the new year, towards 2010. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be pretty busy. I'm giving presentations from January until May, in fact. One that's coming up in January, I'll share with you. There's not a lot of detail yet about the program, but it is taking shape. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith is hosting a Black History Conference. Now, this is the very last weekend in January, so it's going into the season for Black History Month. I am very honored that I will be speaking at that event, and I will be giving an all-day presentation on the history of the local community. And this is the first time the city will have a presentation or really a celebration of African-American history of this magnitude. It's going to be for two full days, presentations and workshops going on for both days. And it promises to be a pretty exciting event. I'm excited to have an opportunity to participate. And some of this actually stemmed from my research that I've been doing on my own family history from that area. And I have two lines that I research, one coming from Northwest Arkansas and the other part coming from Eastern Oklahoma and Indian Territory and the Choctaw Nation. And because of my research that I've been doing, it's obviously something that has mushroomed beyond just my personal family history, and which I hope that most people will allow the records to take them to new places. As I said, this mushroomed beyond my own family history. I became interested in the history of the community. I began to learn of things that were going on that were affecting not just my family, my ancestors, but the people who lived in the community during the Civil War, how that impacted the people who were enslaved, how the years before the Civil War were affected by the people who were not enslaved but who were people of color, and learning that people of color lived there who were not enslaved. This is information that's not been taught, and it's been just a real joy to see that the response to the information that I've been finding has been very, very helpful. Now, I will point out that a lot of this information I have shared on a website, Arkansas Freedmen, and I think that a lot of times that many people will learn more. There are always new people who are coming into genealogy and who'll get online and they'll go to a search engine, Yahoo or Google, and they'll just type in something. And people have literally stumbled upon my website, or they've stumbled upon a list of headstones that a colleague and I have been documenting over the last several years when we document cemeteries. And the response has been just wonderful. And a lot of this has really stemmed from sharing the local history with the greater community, and I'm just really excited to be able to participate in that. Also in February, I'll be attending an event at the Tulsa campus of Langston University. The last week in February, the 26th and 27th, the Choctaw Chickasaw Freedmen Heritage Conference. And this is going to be a first time event. These are individuals who are descendants of Choctaw freedmen and Chickasaw freedmen. And these are individuals whose ancestors were at one time enslaved in the Choctaw Nation and in the Chickasaw Nation. Many people have heard a lot over the last two or three years about Cherokee freedmen. Well, there were Choctaw and Chickasaw freedmen as well. And the purpose of this event is really to celebrate our history, celebrate who we are, celebrate our legacy, and our survival in a hostile community, and just really document and share an enormous, enormous record set that exists for freedmen of not only these two nations, but also of the five tribes, sometimes referred to as the five civilized tribes, them referring to the Cherokee, Choctaw, Chickasaw, Creek, and Seminole nations in Oklahoma. So this is going to be exciting, and I'm looking forward to participating in that as well. One of the things, since it is the last month of the year, it's a good time to sort of look ahead and start to consider, wow, what can I put on my calendar for next year? Maybe I need to save up for an event, try and put it on my calendar, but get an overview of how much it's going to cost or what can I do to consider participating. Well, one of the things I will just throw out there for you to think about, have you ever considered attending a genealogy institute? This is not a one-day workshop. I'm really talking about an institute that goes on for several days. And typically these institutes go on for a week, and the purpose is to help the participants sharpen their genealogy skills. And I just thought I would mention them, and if not this year, maybe put it within a five-year goal for yourself to try and attend one, if not more, of these events. One is, of course, taking place in January. It's probably the Institute of Institutes because it's in the place of places to participate. I'm referring to the Salt Lake Institute of Genealogy. This is a week-long event also that has 12 tracks. Can you imagine 12 concurrent tracks that are going on? And are each of them, I'm saying tracks, they're really referred to as courses. And they're fairly extensive, and I'll just run down the courses for you. American Records and Research, focusing on families. Mid-Atlantic Research, including New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. Scottish Research, Central and Eastern European Research. Immigrant Origins, Computers and Technology, Advanced Genealogical Methods, Producing a Quality Narrative, which many of us need, American Land and Court Records, Problem Solving, Accreditation and Certification Preparation, and U.S. Military. Now, that's a pretty extensive offering, all of those different courses, and I'll put the link for you on the website. Now, of course, it takes place every January, and I know it's probably too soon for people to try to even get in. I don't even know if they have room. But perhaps, as I said, think about maybe for 2011, 2012, or maybe in the next 5 years to put it on your list of events that you may want to attend. During the warmer months, there are two institutes as well to consider. One is coming up, and this one in particular, I can tell you what the tracks are. Registration is not open yet. It opens in January, and from what I understand, it sells out quickly. I'm referring to the Samford Institute of Genealogy and Historical Research at Samford University in Samford, Alabama. Well, this event takes place June the 13th through the 18th. Registration opens in January. And they have about 10 tracks, and those tracks are Techniques and Technology, Intermediate Genealogy and Historical Studies, Research in the South, Advanced Methodology, Advanced Methodology and Evidence Analysis, Writing and Publishing for Genealogists, Advanced Library Research, Virginia's Land and Military Conflicts, Researching African American Ancestors, Slave and Reconstruction Era Records, U.S. Military, Scottish Genealogical Research. That's 10 tracks. I will say that the African American Ancestors track is offered typically every other year. So it is being offered in 2010. As I did say also before, registration is going to open up in January. So if you're saying, I would like to maybe consider going to Samford, it's something that I encourage you, visit their website. Often when their registration opens up, word spreads quickly and it fills quickly. So that's something to consider. Coming up in July, there is the National Institute of Genealogical Research that's held at the National Archives in Washington, D.C. I have attended that. I am an alumna of the National Institute. This year, it's July the 11th through the 16th. And again, it's both at the National Archives in Washington, and they also have some sessions at College Park at Archives, too. The program is not yet up. It probably will be in a few weeks. One of the things that they do point out is that this institute is designed for experienced researchers. It's not an introduction to genealogy. So again, I just thought that I would mention those three institutes. The Salt Lake Institute, which is usually in the winter in January. The Samford Institute in June, and the National Institute in July. And myself, I'm hoping this year to attend the event in Sanford. It sounds like it's a great opportunity and in a great, great week that's going to unfold. And I'm watching the website often to see when registration opens. I have seen who some of the instructors are, and they're individuals for whom I have a great deal of respect and admiration for their work, for the quality of their work. So I'm really excited about that. And I'll put the link to all of these institutes for you. Also, to just give some thought to some of the other events that are coming up. In April, the National Genealogical Society is on its way to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City seems like the place to go this year. Well, that's something to think about. There are going to be several workshops at the NGS conference for African American genealogists, and there's one for beginners, a beginning African American session. There's one on migration patterns that particularly is going to be introducing how to participants the methods of using the new online transatlantic slave trade database. And I believe that is the project that Dr. Gwendolyn Midloe Hall was working on for many years. There's going to be a session on using the Freedmen's Bureau, the Bureau of Refugees, Freedmen, and Abandoned Lands. One session I think that many people need to consider, pardon me, sitting in on, using the genealogical proof standard for African American research. Again, something that many people are just beginning to wake up to and be aware of, but really, really critical information on source citation. Another session, Sojourners in the Land of Zion, really using World War II as sort of a background. The presenters are going to be looking at the experiences of African Americans in Utah and talking about really how their experiences fit in the whole context, not just Utah history, but the nation's history. And a session on DNA testing for race and ethnicity. This is just a sampling. There are literally dozens and dozens of other workshops that are held at the NGS conference. If you've not had a chance to attend an NGS conference, that April event might be certainly something for you. I've not seen a program yet for the FGS conference, the Federation of Genealogical Societies. It's one of the big three that's often referred to. I do know it's going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee in 2010, and it's going to be in August 18th. To the 21st. There is no online program yet, so keep your eyes open for that, but maybe pencil it in on your camera, on your calendar. In June also, a week before Sanford, the California Jamboree, and this actually it's sponsored by the Southern California Genealogical Society, and that's taking place the 11th through the 13th, and they have a number of things that are going on as well, so I just thought I'd mention that for you. Well, today, I thought I would share with you something that I think just is worth taking some time and paying some attention to. You hear me often referring to what's going on out in the Midwest, in Chicago, and I particularly was intrigued by an article that really zoomed in on the energy coming out of Chicago and coming out of several members who are very, very active in the Chicago African American Genealogy Society. And I've just been very, very impressed with some of the things that I've seen, how members of that group are sharing their passion for genealogy with the next generation. And this is something that really caught my attention. I think it's very nice that people, you know, try and, you know, get children interested or maybe do a family tree or help them work with showing how they can create a lineage chart. But that doesn't always make it come alive. Sometimes that kind of activity is something that's just, oh, it's a pastime. It's an event for kids for one afternoon to do. And I have been just very, very impressed with what I have seen. Someone shared with me an article about just people who are very active in Chicago sharing with young people the passion for genealogy, and the children are getting it. And that's what struck me. There was a focus particularly on what's going on in local churches, of course on Boy Scout troops, and even in the Chicago public schools, which was really exciting. And one genealogist in particular has shared her passion with her granddaughter, and there's a wonderful audio file that I want you to click on and just listen to it. It's a 10-year-old child who has learned a lot about an ancestor called Fredonia, and this young lady who has taken her interest and has listened to the stories that her own grandmother has told. This young lady, Mackenzie Dahmer, has just absorbed the history and the knowledge of her ancestor Fredonia, who was enslaved. And she imagines what her ancestor was like, even when she may have been a child. Did she want a bed? Did she have shoes? Was she warm? Was she cold? And it's genuine. It's not something that seems as if it was contrived. And what particularly I was thinking about that, and wonder how many of us tell really the stories of our ancestors. Now, of course, when you're talking to children, what captures a children's mind? Well, stories capture a children's mind. And not just the stories themselves, but the stories of their ancestors, keeping in mind their ancestors are not just a lot of old people who died. Their ancestors were at one time children. And the fact that you see this wonderful drawing on this website where this young girl drew a picture of herself and her holding hands with her ancestor Fredonia, and you know, realizing, yes, Fredonia was also at one point a child as well. And if we can at least capture the fact that our ancestors went through the same stages of life that children went through, that when they were children, maybe they didn't have the doll to play with, or they couldn't go outside and play games because their life was one of toil. Suddenly these children, they get that. They hear the story of someone who's related to them, who had to suffer. And I was just so very, very moved by the commitment, not just of the genealogists to do what they do, but to take it and break it down and share it to the next generation. There was some additional information on that particular site about, one gentleman, I believe Mr. Jones, is teaching genealogy to a troop of Boy Scouts. And Reverend Sampson has actually brought genealogy to his church, that there's actually a genealogy department. And I was just so impressed to see that they're stepping outside of their comfort zone, or they're stepping away from genealogy as a hobby to genealogy as something that needs to be taught and incorporated into the family's knowledge of itself. And I was just very, very impressed. I was also happy to see that the Chicago Public Schools have become involved in teaching family history. Tony Burrows, who many of you know, is a very well-known researcher, has written a genealogy curriculum for the schools. And he's also recommended the genealogy software be placed in the high schools and the middle schools. And several teachers have really caught on and started adding genealogy, incorporating it, real genealogy methods into their history classes. And I want to make a distinction. Many people have heard sort of the, well, I won't say horror stories, but the sad stories of maybe, someone told to go home, talk to the family, come back, and then share with the class what you have, and the story of maybe the African-American child who has sometimes maybe a feeling of embarrassment that there's not a lot of knowledge, or there's not a lot of family history. But what I like about this is breaking that mold. This is altering the paradigm. This is saying, no, we're going to teach kids how to do this. We're going to put not just the software, we're going to teach them the methods. This is now taking something and sharing it to students across the board. All students have a history. All people have a legacy. And all of those histories are important. And that's particularly what I just was so happy to see that. I also like the fact that there's something called the Bronzeville Alliance that's really working with school principals about adding school programs, after school programs on genealogy, and how, again, I'm impressed. I have to give Tony his pat on the back, his kudos there. He's done well. He's leading workshops for the Alliance, teaching families how to do their own research. This is truly something that is just a model for all of us to follow, regardless of the community. We all live somewhere. We all, even if you don't live in the very community that you research, you live somewhere. Well, we have a passion, but our passion should not be a mere hobby. A hobby is something you do by yourself in solitude. And it's, yes, it's a passion, but you do it quietly and you don't have to share it. You can work in your garden for hours and no one has to see it, but you're thrilled. Or you can work on your collection of whatever it is that you collect and you can enjoy it, but you don't have to share it. But this takes it, and again, it alters the paradigm. And there's a model to follow coming out of Chicago. Anyway, I was just so impressed, and the lesson is there for all of us to promote what we do and take it back into the community. What we do should be more than a private passion. Let us take what we do into the communities where we are. The effect is wonderful, and we need to learn from this model coming from Chicago. I really salute them for that. And maybe this next year, I will also be able to practice a little bit of that lesson that I'm learning from them as well. Anyway, that's enough for me, certainly for today. I appreciate you for taking the time to listen to me. Thank you for taking the time out. And please continue to do what you do. Keep researching. Keep documenting. And yes, please keep sharing what you find. Take care, everyone. Have a good week. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.